in a moment. I'm going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And this really, this passage was a precursor to Jesus coming. And I'm using it today as a precursor to a series, or I say series, some teaching we're going to kick off next Sunday. The reason we're not kicking that off today is because it's half term, or the end of half term. There are still many people away, and we wanted everybody to be here, or as many people as possible, for what we're going to teach through and start next Sunday, because it's going to be fundamental to who we are as a church. And I'll explain more about that towards the end of this. So, Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Let me read that, and you can follow or just listen to this. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is quite dramatic. That is a quote from the book of Isaiah. And John is proclaiming from the book of Isaiah and saying, this is about Jesus. And it's dramatic. The mountains brought low and the valleys filled in. Now, I'll put a picture up now. Well, I won't. Jordan will. That's where I went on my holiday. That's the beautiful Scotland. And we've got a few people that love Scotland here. Two in particular. Just imagine, there's some mountains and a valley. Imagine the valley being brought up and the mountains being brought down. It's dramatic. It would change the nature of the landscape. Have a look at the next one. This really is just an excuse for me to show off some of my holiday pictures. We had a lovely time. We've been there the last 2 years. There's Loch Leven and some nice clouds. I love clouds. I'm not going to show you all my pictures of clouds, but we saw some great lenticular clouds, if that means anything to anyone. Very rare. But that's not one, but that's some clouds on the mountains. It's just dramatic, isn't it? And I think there's one more. And we went along some paths, and this talks about the crooked paths becoming straight. Now, if all that happened, the mountains down, the valleys up, the crooked paths straight, it wouldn't have been such a strenuous holiday. It would have been an easier holiday because, as you can see, that's not a very straight path or a very dry path. It was a very windy path as well on that day. But it wouldn't be as interesting, but it would certainly have been easier. So why am I showing you the pictures? I just thought I would. Mountains and valleys and crooked paths and straight paths. I just thought that would be nice. But actually, what we're looking at today is when you look at this quote from Isaiah, what John was saying is, Jesus is coming and nothing will stand in his way. No mountain, no valley, no path, whether it's crooked or anything, nothing will stand in the way of the coming of Jesus and his kingdom. And we can see that was the case, wasn't it? Jesus came and nothing stood in his way. So what are we going to look at today? What about this for us? Not really the part that I'm going to look at from this, because this passage actually can be looked at in a few ways. And this being brought low and being brought up and things made straight and not crooked is a really important thing for us to look at. So let's look at this. Firstly, this is Luke writing this. So he's there, he's seeing John. He's writing this about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is there saying the Messiah, the promised one, is on his way. The Jews have been waiting for this person, the Messiah, the promised one, for a long time. to free them from their oppression. They were currently ruled by the Romans, and they thought the Messiah's coming, he's going to take out the Romans, everything's going to be fantastic, he's coming. And John's saying he's on the way. Some people said, "Are you? Is that you? Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, he's on his way." So John was talking about what was coming. John was a prophet. He was telling of something that was going to come. And Israel hadn't seen a prophet in a long, long time. So this was something new. This was something they'd read about in the scriptures, the prophets. And here was a prophet coming again. But he was saying, you need to get ready. The people need to be ready for the coming of Jesus. He was preaching repentance from sin. He was baptizing people. And he was calling them, remove the obstacles, not just that there won't be any obstacles to Jesus coming, but remove the obstacles from your life so you are ready to accept the coming Messiah. Remove the mountains, the things that are in your way. Remove the obstacles from your life. Clear the way in order for God to move. I think that that is also a call for us, to clear the way for God to move. There are things that get into our lives, obstacles, valleys, and things that seem to get in the way, that seem too big for us. And God actually says, clear the way for Jesus to move, because he's the Messiah and he's coming with his kingdom. He's come with his kingdom. And then we come to this Isaiah, this quote from Isaiah. It's a quote from Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. And I want us to focus on verse 5 here. And there are four phrases in this verse that we'll look at. Every valley filled, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked becoming straight and the rough places becoming level ways. So what does it mean? Well, every valley shall be filled. If you fill a valley, effectively what you do is you bring the floor up. That's what happens. You raise it up. And so the first meaning of this is that is basically what I've said is that the obstacles need to be removed for Jesus to come, that nothing will get in his way. But there are other ways to look at this too. One is that when Jesus comes, he raises up. He's the encourager and the life changer. So if circumstances have brought you low, it's Jesus who raises us up. We can't raise ourselves up. We can't fix those things. Jesus raises us up from the valleys. Now remember, sometimes he allows us to go through those valley times deliberately. He lets it happen, but ultimately, he for our character and that changing and doing us good, but ultimately, he's the one that will raise those valley floors up, that will raise us up, that will bring us into better times. However, there's another meaning to this, and it's an ethical one. You see, John is indicating that the lowly and the humble are going to be raised up, that they will be accepted by the coming Messiah. What he was saying was Jesus isn't coming for the elite. He's not coming for the rulers. He's coming to give hope to the hopeless. We heard this with the adoption stuff. That what great timing. Jesus was coming to raise up the needy. Those whose needs were not going to ever be met anywhere else by anyone else. No one else would give them hope. There was no hope anywhere else except in the coming Messiah. This wasn't about the Romans being chucked out. They'd got that completely wrong. It was never about that. This was about Jesus taking those in need and getting them on their feet and saying, "You are accepted by me." That is what this is about. Jesus was coming to those who are poor and lonely and had no one else. And we'll come on to apply this in a moment. And then we hear that every mountain and hill will be made low. So again, there are a number of ways of looking at this. Mountains can look like insurmountable objects. When we were in Scotland, there were some we just could not get over. No matter how many paths we tried, we were never going to get over those mountains. We had to turn back from some of them, partly because it was getting late in the day and we'd been a bit slow going up them. But they were blocking the way. There was one particular valley we tried to get up, I think it was the last picture, and it was like a bowl of mountains. It was like, there's no way we're going over that. It was insurmountable without ropes and harnesses and things like that anyway. I'm going to state the obvious, but there are times in our life when obstacles seem insurmountable. And we can't get over them without extra gear, extra help. Actually, we're not going to get over them without Jesus. God can and does often remove obstacles. But too often, those obstacles are so big because we're fixated on them. We're looking at them. We're looking at the issue instead of looking to God. When we look to God, the obstacle suddenly doesn't look that big. Actually, God allows, again, those times. But you know what? When you look at a mountain like that, if I was to have somehow been able to, maybe a helicopter, go up to 10,000 feet, those mountains wouldn't look so big and insurmountable anymore because my perspective would have changed. And quite often we don't get over those obstacles because our perspective is wrong. We're looking at the obstacles instead of looking to God and saying, God, you're the one. I have you as my perspective, and now suddenly, oh, that's not that bad after all. So that's one way of looking at this. But again, there's another way of looking at these words. When we saw about the humble and the lowly being raised up, we now see that the mountains are brought down. It's the proud and the arrogant are actually brought down. The coming of Jesus wasn't just to raise up those who were lowly. It was to say to the ones who were oppressive, I'm going to bring you down. I'm not allowing that oppression. I'm not going to have that oppression. Yes. I'm going to take it out.
Yeah, very good.
And Jesus is the leveler. So he brings up the humble and he humbles the proud. I knew a guy who led a church, and he used to say to people, I listen to you and I hear you praying to God saying, God, help me to be humble. He said, do you really want to pray that? Do you really want God to humble you? He said, I suggest you humble yourself because it is far less painful and far less public. And he was right. Actually, if God can bring down a mountain, that would create, what a spectacle. It's public. Actually, for the proud and the arrogant, it is best that they humble themselves before God rather than God humbling them. This is a real warning to us. Jesus came to actually tell the elite that they needed to be brought a step down or two. It wasn't that he didn't reach out to the rich. If you remember in Matthew 19:16, if you know this story, there was a rich young man came to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to be with you? Eternal life, be saved, be yours. And Jesus said, keep all the commandments. And the guy said, I've done it. And he said, well, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He couldn't do it. It was too humbling. It would have been very humbling. He'd have been well known. He was rich. He couldn't do it. It would have brought him low. His trust was in money rather than God, a position many of us fall into time and time again. Actually, in the book of Mark, it says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. When I was a kid, this verse always made me. I thought, what are you going to do, chop it up if it can go through? I always thought it was a bit weird, but it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It doesn't say a rich person can't go into the kingdom of God. It just says it's going to be really hard because if you've got lots, that's going to make it difficult, very difficult. So who are the rich? Well, you know what? Living around here, we all are. So we have to be careful that we're not the ones that Jesus is saying, I've got to just bring you down a peg or two. Because your richness and your money and your possessions and your self-reliance and all those kind of things, that's arrogance in God's sight because it's saying, I don't need you, God, I've got myself. And when I look at that in the stark light of day and I say, oh, it's all right, God, I've got me. Yeah, right. I know me. That's rubbish. I'm not going to cut it, not compared to God. So the mountains are brought low. The crooked shall become straight, is what it says next. Again, no obstacle to the coming of Jesus. He will give purpose to our lives. So with a path, when there are twists and turns, we can't see what's coming around the corner. But if we've got purpose to our life, those twists and turns don't matter because we trust God for them. And it's as if he's taken all the bends out of the path because we know, actually, my life, my destiny is in God's hands. So the path feels straight because I can trust God with it. So whatever you're doing, I think particularly, you know, that word about the young people. So I was just thinking of young people and the decisions you have to make with A-levels and careers and unis and all that kind of stuff. Trust God with it and he'll make your path straight. But actually, you know, that word about the young people being not just surviving, but being transformers. Do you know what? Our young people are transformers. Do you know, wherever I go, I brag about our youth. Okay? I do. Okay? You've got to know that to other church leaders. And you've got to live up to it. If you meet any of them, okay, you've got to live up to it now. These guys run their own CU at South, some of them. They do all this stuff, and not just at South, but in other schools as well. I know we've got them in other schools, young people, and they stand up for their faith. They don't just take it. They stand up for it. They live for it. And people are being changed and transformed. We got guys here who didn't know God a little while ago. Our young people in their school have been a witness, and we've seen people saved and added to the church. Okay, God is glorified through that. It is just, I don't have words, it's just fantastic. The crooked paths are made straight. But again, this speaks of justice. It speaks of justice for those who have been dealt with in a crooked manner, those who have been duped, those who are vulnerable, those who people take advantage of. What God is saying through this is those are the people that I've come for, and the people that are doing the duping, the people who are scamming, they're the ones I'm going to bring down. That is what this is saying. In Acts 2, verse 40, Peter says, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It was crooked then, it's crooked now. So many are out for personal gain. Let us be the ones who are different. And the final phrase here, it says, the rough places shall become level. For many people, stability is something that's craved. When you're on a rough path, it plays havoc with your ankles because of the stability of it. It's God that will bring stability to our lives. Stability and security. If you are feeling that life is full of insecurities, God will change that. That's what he brings. Just a note on the final verse, the verse 6 there, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is for everyone, okay? It's for the lowly, it's for those in high positions, it's for everybody in between. But what Jesus is saying is, I'm bringing you all to the same level. This is for all flesh. But actually, some of you need to be raised up, some of you need to be brought down, so that you can come together and be the family of God together. So, for the last few minutes, let's just see what we can take away from this. I mean, some of it is obvious, and I've applied some of it as we've gone along. John is preparing people for the coming Messiah, for Jesus. Nothing's going to stop him. Every obstacle's going to be removed. And the way for him is going to be straight. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Remember what Jesus went through. But we also see the manner in which Jesus comes and who he comes to. He comes to raise up the lowly and the downtrodden and humble the proud and the arrogant. So we're going to look at ourselves. What about us? We can look at this as being very encouraging, firstly, and good, and that's right, and we should do. We should look at this, that Jesus, God, is in control. God's in control of it all. He removes obstacles. Sometimes he allows us to go over them, but he gives us the right perspective on them. You know, he's in control. He can make things work for us. He does make things work for us. He establishes his kingdom and brings salvation to all. His kingdom's not hindered. And we need to think about that. We need to remember that. I found myself, as I go through tough times, thinking more of eternity, thinking, actually, I think things are hard now, but this is temporary. This isn't going to last forever. This is going to be tiny. You know, if we put a timeline out, there's my life, and the rest stretches on forever. And actually, when we think that way, we think of eternity, again, this is easier for us to cope with the things that we're going through now. I have to keep relearning it. But we need to ask ourselves an honest question. Are we the proud and the arrogant? Are we the ones that need to be made low? Our attitudes to those around us. We constantly need to be looking at our own attitudes and the way we treat people, the way we deal with people. In Exodus 10, in the Old Testament, Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh. A lot of people know this story because there was a film made of it. You remember all the plagues. Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." And if you remember, if you know the story, Pharaoh did not humble himself. So what happened? God humbled him. He lost his firstborn son. He lost his army when they went after the Israelites. He lost everything. Pharaoh is expected to humble himself. We need to be quick to humble ourselves before God and not think too highly of ourselves. Let's have a right perspective of ourselves before God. So we look at ourselves, but we also need to look at the people that we're friends with, that we're reaching out to. And this is the part that I'm going to be talking about a lot more over the coming weeks, possibly months. Do we come to people in the same way that Jesus does? Do we go to the same people that Jesus went to? Who are the lonely and the downtrodden in our community? If we don't know who they are, then we can't reach out to the people that Jesus reached out to. Now, for many of you, and I'm going to bring examples of this over the coming weeks, for many of you, you do that day in, day out in your jobs. For some, it's not our jobs, and we do it differently, and we have to look at that, and we have to look at how do we do this? And we'll start looking at that a little next week. I'll explain that more next week. But what we'll be doing is we'll be going right back to basics here as a church. We're going to be talking next week, and this is why I'm not applying this bit massively now, because I'm going to talk about this more as we go forward. But next week I'm going to start it, and we're going to be looking at why are we even here as a church? Why is Grace Church here? There are lots of churches. Why are we here? What is our reason for being here? What is our vision, is the way we put that. What is the kind of church we are called to be? Why are we here? What are we here to do? And then what I'll do is next week I'm going to give an overview of that in a way that hopefully is easy to remember. And then over the coming weeks, we're going to look at various sections of that and look at the implications of that to say, okay, if that's why we're here, then what does that mean for me? Where do I fit into that? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for the things we do together as a church? What does that mean for this on a Sunday? What does that mean for our life group? What does that mean as we gather to pray? How does everything fit together? And that's what we're going to be looking at over the coming weeks. So I'm going to draw that to a close. So today what we've looked at really is just setting it up for coming to that bit next week. We've looked at the fact that nothing will hinder Jesus and his purposes and his kingdom. Nothing has ever and nothing ever will. And that includes what we do here as a church. we are about his purposes. We really feel, as elders, we have got a very definitive, this is why we're here. And that's what we'll share with you next week. And then we'll look at the implications. Who are we reaching out to? Who are we lifting up? Who do we need to see humbled to see that? And who are we reaching out to? So that's what we're going to do. That's the plan for the coming weeks. Now, in terms of this afternoon and meeting here, there are just a couple of things I need to mention. As we meet here, obviously in the Methodist Centre, which is, we're working it out as we go along, and we'll continue to work it out as we go forward. For parents, can I ask you to, when we meet here, before we start, that we actually only use these two rooms, and in terms of the kids and young people, that we're only in these two rooms, and of course the toilets if you need them, but that we're not going into the other areas until Grace Church Kids has started, and then they can go through, and then at the end we keep these two rooms. One of the reasons for that is that just through there, there are some black metal gates that are outward facing, and they are closed, but they are unlocked. They have to be unlocked for fire regulations. But what it means is if your kids are out there, they could go through them and you wouldn't know. Or someone could come in and you wouldn't know. So we just want to make sure we're in here. We don't see that, think that's going to happen, but want to make that clear from a safeguarding perspective that actually these two rooms are where we need to be. It's just important that we know that. And then obviously when they're in the groups, they're with adults and that's all fine. And when you pick them up, if we can just stick to these two, that's all good as well. Also, on the first and third Sunday of the month, the Methodist Church come in the evening, so they're going to be coming in now. They're starting to. They'll be setting up after we are clearing up. So we just have to make sure we're cleared up on time at those times, which is why I'm going to finish now, a few minutes earlier than quarter past. If you're in here helping, then that's great to clear up. If you're not helping, not able to for whatever reason, then if you can do your chatting and socialising out in the other bit, then those who are clearing up can get it done quickly, get the PA out, get the chairs set up for the next people in. So I hope that makes sense. It will make even more sense next week as we talk more and as I speak more. Have a fantastic week.